Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you this morning. Good to have many of you joining us from your homes this morning as well. Hebrews chapter 8 this morning, as we continue our Sunday morning sermon series through the book of Hebrews. Looking at this book from the aspect of endurance, the author is giving us, as well as the recipients of this letter many, many years ago, truth that will inspire them and motivate them to endurance. In fact, our key verse for this sermon series is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, "For we need endurance in order to do God's will and receive what is promised." We need endurance. Every one of us needs to learn to endure in the Lord, to receive that supernatural staying power, that holy stick-to-itiveness and steadfastness, to hang in there when we feel like giving and quitting. And let me just for a moment again set the historical context. This was written to Hebrews, first century Jews who had embraced Jesus as their Messiah. And after doing so, things did not get easier for them in life. Things got harder and more difficult because they faced much persecution for giving up, in a sense, the worship in the temple and the Old Testament sacrificial system, because they didn't need that anymore, right? Because they had embraced the one true sacrifice, Jesus Christ. But they were under tremendous pressure and persecution. And so things were very difficult. And many of them were thinking about, maybe it'd be better if we went back to the old ways, to the old system, and stopped following Christ, stopped enduring and persevering with Jesus. And the author of the book is saying, no, 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 don't do that. There is nothing for you back there. That's going backward. As hard as it is, it's better with Jesus, no matter how difficult it is. In fact, that's the heading of this chapter and this message today. Everything is better with Jesus. Everything with Jesus is better. With that, please follow along as I read the first six verses, just the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 8. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the sanctuary and the true tabernacle that the Lord, not man, set up. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So this one, too, had to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. The place where they serve is a sketch and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary, just as Moses was warned by God as he was about to complete the tabernacle. For he says, "See that you make everything according to the design shown to you on the mountain." Pay particular attention now to verse 6. "But now Jesus has obtained a superior ministry, since the covenant that he mediates is also better and is enacted on better promises." Better is a key word in the book of Hebrews. In fact, out of the 15 times this word is used in the New Testament, 11 of those 15 are found in this book. The author wants every one of us to realize everything is better with Jesus. And when he uses that word, he is saying it is superior in quality, it is superior in its permanence, it is superior. Started off in chapter 1 by telling us Jesus is so far better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. In fact, he's better than all the Old Testament priests put together. He's better than Joshua. And then he comes up, and last week we saw that he gave us a better hope by which we draw near to God. And we have a better covenant through Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 8, he says, and we have better promises. What are those promises? Well, if you look down to verses 8 through 12, I'm just going to mention these briefly this morning. Here's just three of the promises. We have now inner transformation, where he deals with us from the inside out. The old covenant was about the outside. It was about externals. But now through this new covenant and these better promises, it's about inner transformation. Second, it's about direct and unhindered access to God. Everyone, God says, will know me under this new covenant. They will be able to have a personal, intimate relationship with me. And then finally, through this new covenant and through these better promises, God promises to remember their sins no more. I will be merciful. And it offers complete forgiveness. Do you realize, as I need to realize, that there is no other belief system in the world, there's no other religion in the world, there's no other, you know, church out there in the world besides Christianity through Jesus that offers complete forgiveness? It's the only one. There is no other system in the world that offers complete forgiveness. It doesn't matter which one. Only Christianity offers complete forgiveness, because it's only through Jesus that one can experience complete forgiveness. Better. Everything is better with Jesus. And again, the reason why that was so important is they were getting ready to walk away from Jesus. And the author is saying, whichever direction you walk in away from Jesus, it's not going to be better. You may think it's going to be better. It may even look better. The whole grass is greener, but it's not going to be better. Whatever you are moving to away from Jesus, whatever thing or whatever person or belief system you're moving towards, when you move away from Jesus, it's not better. Now, the reason why this is a message for all time is we'll come back to the book of Hebrews in a few minutes, but I want you to go back to the Gospel of John, to John's Gospel, chapter 6. I want us to see this morning that this idea of enduring with Jesus when things get hard, or when he says hard things or difficult things, and when he's asking for all of us to not have a half-hearted commitment, but to be all in with him, that this is something that human beings have struggled with even since Jesus himself was on earth calling people to be his disciples. And so that's why this message is relevant and resonates with us no matter where we are in history, because all of us have that struggle with enduring with following Jesus. And if they had a struggle with following Jesus when he was even here physically, how much more so do many today who have to rely on the Holy Spirit to keep them enduring and persevering in their faith. Notice John chapter 6, verse 66. After this, meaning after Jesus again had said some hard and difficult things, many of his disciples, not few, many of his disciples quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. They failed to endure. They failed to persevere with Jesus. They're like, we're done. This is too hard. This is too difficult. Jesus is asking too much of us. So Jesus says to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? And I love Simon Peter's answer. He says, Lord, to whom would we go? Again, even Peter at that point recognized, to anyone else or anywhere else we would go, to whatever that is, it's not going to be better than it is with you, Lord. In fact, he says in verse 66 or 68, you, and by the way, in the original, it's you alone have the words of eternal life. No one else. You alone have the words of eternal life. So if we're going to leave you, where else are we going to go? To who else are we going? And that's what the author of Hebrews wants his recipients to get as well. To whatever direction you go, if you go back to the old covenant, that's not better than what Christ offers you in the new covenant with better hope, better promises, better everything. Peter goes on to say in verse 69, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. See, that this is why the subject of endurance is always timely. Because there have been disciples of Jesus throughout history for the last 2,000 years who can get to a place where they quit following him and do not accompany him any longer. Maybe that was you at some point in your life, or you know of family members or friends or coworkers or people, neighbors or people you go to school with who used to follow Jesus Christ and follow him closely, and they don't anymore. They don't. You don't see them in church anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. They don't worship God consistently anymore. They don't have much of a or any of a prayer life anymore. They used to, but not now. And so the author is saying, I need to give my people truth. Truth that can continually inspire and motivate them to endure. By the way, as I'm thinking, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for just a moment as well. I want us to see something this morning, that when we fail to endure and keep following Jesus, it doesn't just affect us. It doesn't. It does affect us, but it also affects our brothers and sisters in Christ, the body that we belong to. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse 9 and then 10, the first part of verse 10. Paul says to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. Notice verse 10. For Demas deserted me, since he loved the present age. I want you to keep that in mind. We'll come back to that concept in about 10 minutes in the message in Hebrews, okay? About being pulled away by the present evil age rather than continuing to follow Christ. And notice, Paul takes this very personal. It's like, you're not only deserting Jesus, you're deserting me, you see. In fact, then notice verse 16. At my first defense, no one appeared in my support. Instead, they all deserted me. Why does Paul take this so personal, and why does he share this with Timothy? Because he wants us all to understand this concept. The Bible teaches that when we come to Christ, we then become part of his body. We're all part of the body. And like here at the Oasis, we now have chosen to be part of this body. And we should not take that lightly if we think about our own physical body, which is why I gave us the concept of the body to illustrate what is spiritual is also true in the physical world. Let me ask you a question this morning in regards to that. What if you woke up this morning and a part of your body just decided it was going to desert you? That it wasn't going to work? I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm not in. What if you got up this morning and your right arm said, I'm done, not working? And you had to go through the day trying to figure out, my arm's nuts not going to work today because it just decided it was going to abandon the rest of the parts of the body. What if you woke up this morning and your eyes, just for a day even, just said, I'm done. I'm not going to work this morning. And so you go through the day and go, what? It affects everything. You see, when we don't endure and persevere with Jesus, it doesn't just affect us. It affects every other part of the body, you see. And that's what Paul is saying here. That's why learning to endure and receiving that supernatural staying power from God to be able to endure is not only key to my earthly life, it's key to my fellowship with other believers. And then I want to say, it's also key to understanding that everything's not just better with Jesus on earth, that everything is better beyond earth. It's not just about things are better now, it's about things are going to be better forever. It's about having this mindset that I've got to look beyond this life and live from an eternal perspective. So I'd like you to go back now to the book of Hebrews. I know some of you are going, Jeff, you are all over the place today. Can I just tell you, in preparing for this message, God had me all over the place. And even as I walked out here this morning, I'm like, God, this is one of those Sundays where it's like, I don't really know, you know, I had a plan, God changed the plan like 10 times, and I'm like trying to still track with God. So I hope you'll hang in there with me. God is using a very just, you know, finite, frail human vessel here this morning. As you move through Hebrews chapter 8, and he talks about, again, in the first six verses, about contrasting everything about Jesus with the shadowy, sketchy things that were the old covenant, right? And again, it's not that all that God instituted in the Old Testament or under the old covenant was bad. It wasn't, but it was a sketch. It was a shadow of the reality. When Jesus came, the reality's here. So you don't need the sketch and the shadow anymore, you see. And then again, in verses 7 through 12, verses that we just touched on, these are just some of the promises that were better that he talked about in verse 6. And notice, in verse 10, it's all what God does. I will establish with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds. I will inscribe them on their hearts. I will be their God. Verse 12, I will be merciful. You see, under the old covenant, it was conditional and it was up to the human being. It was like, if you do these things, then you will be blessed. Under the new covenant, it's like, it's unconditional. It's God's like, I'll do everything. You just trust me. You just follow me. How much better is that? And that's why the author is saying, don't go back to that. That's not going to benefit you or profit you or bless you in any way. I know it's hard right now because people don't like that you're following Christ. Your family members and friends who aren't there yet, that they don't get it. And so they're making it hard for you. And listen, your spiritual enemy, he's throwing everything he can at you right now as you get started in this new life, because he's trying to derail you from the start and discourage you and get you to a place where you will throw in the towel, because he knows God has this wonderful forever future planned for you. And even the rest of your earthly life, it may be filled with challenges, but you're going to grow through all these challenges, and you're going to become who God created you to be. So all these things are pressing against them, and he's trying to say to them, don't give up. Endure. Persevere. Because notice then what he says in the very last verse of chapter 8. When God speaks of a new covenant, he makes the first obsolete. Now, what is growing obsolete and aging is about to disappear. This verse is a key verse in the book of Hebrews and even in the argument, if you will, of the author. He's saying there's a transition. This is a transitional moment, even in history. The old covenant is getting ready to yield to the new covenant. And God, in his mercy and even in his patience, is going to give you Jews of the first century about 35 years to wrap your heads and hearts around this. But after that, God is moving on, you see. And he needs you to embrace Jesus, because he's going to allow the Romans to come in 70 AD, again, about 35 years from where, you know, Jesus was when he ascended, and they're going to literally tear down the temple. And you're not going to have your temple anymore to be able to offer your sacrifices, because you don't need the temple anymore. Think about it. God gave them 35 years to make this transition and basically say, I'm going to give you time to get on board, but there's a time where I'm moving on with my plan, and if you're not ready to move on, you're going to get left behind. I mean, sort of the same thing with Noah. He gave those people in Noah's day 120 years to repent and get on the ark. It's not like God, you know, doesn't give people time to figure things out. It just shows the hardness of their heart. And why is this verse so important? Because the word obsolete speaks about things that belong to the visible and temporary order of things. You see, God is always calling believers to align their affections, their priorities, and their investments with that which cannot decay. And that's part of how we can endure and be inspired and motivated to endure, is realizing that things aren't just better with Jesus now, but what God has promised me through these better promises, things are going to even get better and better and better, and the best is yet to come. So with that in mind, go over with me to chapter 10 of Hebrews. And look at verse 34. We'll start there. The author says, in fact, you shared the sufferings of those in prison when you were first saved, and you accepted the confiscation of your belongings with joy, because you knew that you certainly had a better and lasting possession. You see, you and I, as Christians, are promised by God a better and lasting possession. Not something material and physical and temporary that can just slip through our fingers. Not something that's part of this order. Because again, we brought nothing into this world and we can carry nothing out. But the Bible teaches us. In fact, let me remind all of us of those verses that Peter talks about in 1 Peter. He says, by his great mercy, he has brought new birth to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, into an inheritance, imperishable, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that amazing? We have an inheritance through Jesus that is unfading, imperishable, reserved in heaven for us. No wonder Jesus said, do not accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth, but accumulate for yourselves treasures in heaven. No wonder Paul said in Colossians 3, believers, if you have been risen with Christ, keep seeking things that are above, not things on the earth. Keep thinking about things that are above, not things on the earth. Because it is through realizing all that's coming our way that we can not get so bogged down with our present circumstances that we feel like giving up, because we know there's so much greater things and better things coming for us and coming to us because of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. Talking about Abraham and his followers. In fact, if they had been thinking of the land they had left, the Ur of the Chaldees, they would have had opportunity to return, to go back. But as it is, they aspire to a better land. There's that word again. That is a heavenly one. Because at the end of verse 16, he, God, has prepared a city for them. Wow. As hard as it was, and it would have been so easy, instead of continuing to endure and follow God, Abraham could have said, I'm going back home. But he continued on. Why? Because he said, because there's more than just this life. There's a better land waiting for me. There's heaven out there waiting for me. There's a city called the New Jerusalem waiting for me. And so I can endure what I'm going through now because I'm keeping my mind and my heart on what's ahead. It's exactly what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, describing Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he even endured the cross. Because Jesus knew what was coming after the cross. He was going to be back with the Father, back in heaven, back in glory, bringing many sons and daughters to glory with him. He had that joy that was set so he could endure the cross. One other one I'd like to show you this morning. The end of chapter 11, verse 35. Now, you know what? This is so good. Let's start at verse 32. The author says, what more shall I say about these people? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength and weakness, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead raised to life, but others were tortured, not accepting release, notice, to obtain resurrection. Direction to what? A better life. Isn't that great? Knowing that when you and I shut our eyes in death, even if our death has to be horrific, like being tortured or even like Stephen was stoned, he was actually given the ability to see Jesus standing up there in heaven, waiting on him and defending him and taking up his cause. He had enough grace through the Lord to be able to say as he was being stoned, forgive them, just as Jesus did from the cross. You might say, how much pain was he in? Listen, God gives his people dying grace. And sometimes we think, oh my goodness, it would have been so horrific for those people to be crucified as Christians and burned at the stake. And I'm not minimizing what they went through as martyrs. But don't forget, God gives his people even dying grace. He gives his people to be able to endure and persevere and to say, come on home, because it's better up here and you'll never have to suffer ever again. You see, everything is better with Jesus, both now and what we get to look forward to forever. So the author is saying, why are you leaving Jesus? Why are you going anywhere other than just sticking with Jesus no matter how hard it is? Because even as hard as it may be at times, it's still going to be better with Jesus than it would be with anything or anyone else. And then when this life is over, oh, man, you have better possessions. An inheritance reserved in heaven for you. You have a better land that you're headed to, heaven, where there's no more dying, no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain. We have a better life waiting on us, and not just for a few years, forever, a better life. So with all of that, I want to sum it up with this verse from the book of Hebrews this morning. I'd like to leave this as a challenge for all of us. Would you please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. The author says, so since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. You realize that? An imperishable kingdom. an immovable kingdom. And notice, we're not achieving this kingdom. We receive it as a gift. Think about that. We receive an unshakable kingdom. So what should be our response? Let us give thanks. And through this, let us offer worship pleasing to God in devotion and awe. I see three things in there that are appropriate responses of every Christian to what we have received in and through Jesus Christ. First, gratitude. Let us give thanks. We all need to ask ourselves today, how's our gratitude right now? Do we display an everyday, continual gratitude, gratefulness, thanks to God for what we have been given in Jesus? Boy, you would talk about something that should inspire our praise and worship. And just living a life realizing that we should be counting our blessings over and over and over again. So that's first. Two, the end of verse 28. How's our devotion? How's our devotion? How's our gratitude? How's our devotion? Are we devoted? The word disciple not only means learner, it means devoted one. You see, the ones in John chapter 6 that we talked about earlier, they truly weren't devoted because there came a point where they said, we're done, we're not following anymore, we're not accompanying anymore, we're out of here. Obviously, that's not devotion. Devotion is commitment. And then finally, how's our awe? Do we live in awe of God? Like, wow, God. I got to tell you, I grew up on the East Coast, and it's not that there weren't some beautiful sunrises and sunsets, but one of the things that has really, you know, is just some of the sunrises and sunsets in Arizona. It's just like, wow, God. Or where I live in Gold Canyon, you know, dark skies and everything. I look up some nights and the stars, there's so many of them up there, you can't even sort of differentiate them. They're just so close and there's so many and they're so different and so brilliant. And I go, and God knows every star. I'm taking your thing, Nathan. And he's named everyone. I mean, to live in awe of God. These are the three appropriate responses of a heart that's been set free. To be grateful, to be devoted, and to live in awe of our God. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't. Some of you maybe I do, but I don't know all that you're going through. Only you and God know what you're struggling or dealing with. But I want to encourage you today. Hang in there. Don't give up. And don't quit following right behind the Lord. Because if you quit following him, whichever direction you go, it's not going to go better for you. It's only going to get harder. Because you're not going to be partnering with your great high priest, who can make everything better because of who he is and what he's given to us. Endure, persevere, because we need endurance in order to do God's will and receive all that he has promised us. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come now, and I'm going to ask you all to stand with me and close in prayer. Father, I pray today, God, that all of us might be, through our worship and through the word, more inspired, more motivated, more strengthened, more encouraged, God, to just keep on keeping on. That whatever life throws at me, whatever the devil throws in my path, whatever the world does to me, God, I'm just going to hold on to you and cling to you and never let go, God, because everything is better with Jesus. And everything with Jesus is better. And so, God, help us through your supernatural strength and power to just keep enduring. Keep persevering. Keep moving forward. Even if the winds of resistance are continually against us, God, what you have set out ahead of us is glory, and it's forever. Help us to keep our eyes on the goal ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.